Jesus is questioned by the disciples of John the Baptist. They were wondering why Jesus and his disciples, or rather, why Jesus was not encouraging his disciples to fast as they did, and as, of course, as the Pharisees did as well. Often wonder when we have heard this, because it's one of those passages that over the years we will have heard time and time again, how often those verses have been used to encourage a congregation to accept some new idea or new practice. But is that what Jesus is really speaking about here? I think not. He has been asked this question as to why his disciples don't fast, which he deals with in verse 15. So what is verses 16 and 17 all about? This reference to the patch and the wineskins and so forth. And Jesus, in that little aside almost, it seems, to the question that's being put to him, makes reference to the bridegroom in verse 15. Does he just use that term bridegroom as an expression to explain part of the answer that he's seeking to give these people? Or is it with some significance that he uses the term bridegroom? Now, I happen to think that he's using it with great significance, and he's really using it as a reference to himself. There is only one other occasion when Jesus uses this word, and again, it must refer to him, and that's the parable that we find almost at the end of Matthew's Gospel in chapter 25. When he speaks of the wise and the foolish virgins. There, they're waiting for the bridegroom to come. We also find that the disciple, John, used this term when he was writing and recording his revelation. And he uses it again to refer really to Jesus. So in Revelation 19 and verses 6 and 7 we read, "Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like a roar of rushing water, and like a loud peal of thunder, shouting, 'Hallelujah, for our Lord God the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him the glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready.'" A little later on, he is to say, "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" A little later on, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, and I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." Now you've got the bridegroom, and now you've got this reference to the Lamb, and it all refers to Jesus. I want to suggest that in Matthew 9 and verses 15 to 17, Jesus is saying that we have to get away from the old thinking of what that God only wants us to be engaged in religious observation and conformity to a set of rules. This is one of the things, I guess, that has beset the church over the years. You must do it this way. You must do this. You must obey that kind of rule. With this term bridegroom, Jesus is calling us into an intimate relationship with himself through faith. It's not something that can be cobbled together with our existing beliefs. We have to realize that no matter how good our former beliefs may have been, in fact, they're not good enough. Isaiah, when writing in chapter 64 and verse 6, says, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and the wind blows our sins away." Paul says exactly the same thing in Romans 3 and verse 23, and he's really taking it from that reading of Isaiah. For Paul says this, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us have turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Each of us turn to our own way. When we look at our lives, what do we see? Are we trying to impress God with the kind of observation to rules and regulations? I go to church every Sunday. I say my prayers every day. I read the Bible every day. Good things. And it's good to come to church. But it's not the be-all and all end of everything. It's no good when, as we get to the gates of heaven, if there are gates in heaven, I don't know. But if we get there and we say, "Well, God, you know, you used to see me every week at Averhill Methodist Church. You used to see me when I was in my house on my own every night, reading your word and saying my prayers. Lord, let me in." Isn't that enough? No. As wonderful as it is, it's not enough. We need to have faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're at the beginning of Christmas. This is Advent Sunday. We're preparing for Christmas now. Have we had our Christmas yet? Not asking you if you're ready for Christmas, but have you already had your Christmas? Has the Christ child, through faith, been born in you? Because that's what God wants. Isn't that amazing? You know, when you go back to that story of Mary and the angel coming to her and saying that she was highly favored and that she was going to have a baby and that God was going to put this baby within her who would be the Son of God. Do we realize that each one of us gathered here tonight is highly favored by God? And that he wants to put his Son within us. Not the cobbling together of old ideas, but the realization of what God wants to do, what his plan was in the beginning. This is the new wine of the gospel. And we need to be a new wine people. We need to be new wine skins. We need to forget the old and embrace the new. Not the new ideas. any of us can do that in a sense, though some of us struggle against new ideas. I find I struggle against new ideas. I'm still trying to work out how to operate my iPhone. But, you know, it's that we as a people can be indwelt by the very Son of God. We can be his people. We don't need to fast. Might be good for some people. Some of us might need to fast. Sometimes when I get in the scales in the morning and see what it is, and I think, oh my word, you know, I could have done with a bit of fasting last night. That's why it's gone round to where it's gone round to. But you know, I don't need to fast to impress God. I don't need to read my Bible to impress God. I don't need to come to church to impress God. I come to church because I want to praise God. I want to meet with his people and be part of that fellowship of worship and praise. I read my Bible because I want to understand what God is continually saying to me. I don't know how often you read your Bible. I read my Bible, I read a chapter in the morning and a chapter in the evening. That's not boasting. That's just telling you what I do. I don't know how long I've been doing that. I don't know how many times I've read through the Bible, but it's never an old book. God's always saying new things. I've got new things to learn. I'm not doing this to impress God. I'm doing it because I need to be obedient and to learn. And I need, if I have a relationship with him, to speak with him. That's where prayer is important. It's speaking with God. Isn't that amazing? That we insignificant creatures here can speak with the Almighty God of the universe, and his ear is open to us. Sometimes people have a problem there. They say, well, how can God hear the prayers of all the people in the world? Well, I'm not sure, but I got a feeling that I heard someone say that who was skilled with computer science and all the rest of it and could find an answer there. I can't give you an answer because I'm not that skilled. But, you know, I believe that God can hear each one of us. And even if we're... Do you know, in Korea, if you go to a Korean church service there and they say, let's pray, and they stand up and they pray, and they all pray out loud, and they don't wait for one another. They're not like we are, you know. We'll wait for one another. Let's let Mrs. Smith have her say first, and then I'll follow on, and then someone else. No! They all go. It must be a cacophony of sound. I guess I would find it off-putting. Well, then I'm British, aren't I? You know, you'd expect that, really, wouldn't you? But God can hear all those prayers, each one individually. Isn't God amazing? And he can hear our prayers, our requests. We're not praying to impress him. We're praying to share with him the things of life, the stuff of life, the heartaches of life, the joy of life, the problems of life. The bridegroom, Jesus, the lover of our soul, who wants us to have an intimate relationship with him. So he calls us to come and put our faith in him. The Father sent us, his one and only Son, so that through belief in him we should enter into a new relationship with God. Not something that's second-hand or made up with rules or regulations, but a life of love for our bridegroom. Have you ever thought of Jesus as your bridegroom? We men, ladies, we men have a problem sometimes with the wording in Scripture, because we're not used to thinking of someone as our bridegroom other than some nice young lady. And we struggle sometimes with the language of the Bible. But it's meant to convey an intimacy, a love, a coming together, a joining of being made one. And this is what Jesus promises us. And this is what Jesus promises us as we come together at this time of Advent, to bring him glory and honour and to praise him. Friends, where are we today? Is our faith founded upon works or upon the Lord Jesus Christ, our great and glorious bridegroom? Friends, let's make our faith sure. Let's examine ourselves and see if there are things that we are holding dearer to ourselves than Jesus. Things that we're adding to Jesus. Let's not fool ourselves and find out when it's too late that we've been trying to keep this new wine in old wineskins, only to experience the loss of all that could have been ours, but for our own short-sightedness and maybe stubbornness. The situation is serious, not just for ourselves, but for the rest of those that we live with. For they need to see not just our faith, but the reality of it, so that they too might believe and be saved. In Revelation it says, the Spirit and the bride says, come. Let him who hears says, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. To whom shall they come but to our glorious bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ? Friends, I hope you're ready for Christmas. I hope you're going to have a wonderful Christmas. Not because of the presents, not because of the turkey or whatever, but because Jesus has been born again in you. Have a glorious and wonderful Christmas. Amen.